The meeting is once again being recorded. The board has returned from a break. It is 9:56 on Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024. We are returning to the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy regular session meeting. We'll do a roll call, Dr. Bustillo, prior to starting, just to ensure everybody is back. Dr. Bustillo.
Here.
Dr. King.
Here.
Mr. Leone. Let the record show Mr. Leone is still absent. Mr. Greer?
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Dr. Hike?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Sinish?
Here.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Bryant?
Here.
My name is Judy Chepius, and we are also joined by Mr. Harris AAG. Dr. Bustillo.
Okay, we are still on agenda item number 7, now moving on to B, case 2344, Patricia Parks, PT. This is an informal hearing.
Dr. Bustillo, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
There was some question if Ms. Parks was going to be present this morning, and before you read the entire script, I'm just wondering if Judy or Mindy can tell if she's present.
I did receive an accepted meeting invitation, and she did email me to question the time. So I anticipate she is supposed to, she was planning to attend. Ms. Parks, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. So I will read the informal hearing script for this. I'll move to the agenda item for informal hearing. This is a reminder that the board meeting is being recorded. This is case number 2344, Patricia Parks, physical therapist. We'll have the executive director call roll and respond with your name and position, please.
Dr. Bustillo?
Present, professional member, chair of the board.
Dr. King?
Hi, Dr. Kelly King, professional member, vice chair of the board.
Mr. Greer?
Joshua Greer, public member.
Mr. Barton?
Joshua Barton, public member.
Dr. Hike?
John Hike, professional member.
And staff, Ms. Richardson?
Mindy Richardson, board investigator.
Ms. Sinish?
Liz Sinish, board investigator.
Ms. Crowley?
Monica Crowley, administrative services officer.
Ms. Bryant?
Phoenix Bryant, licensing specialist.
My name is Judy Chepius. I'm the executive director.
Ms. Parks, will you please state your name and do you have an attorney with you?
My name is Patricia Parks, and no, I do not have an attorney.
Great. Thank you. Patient complaint doesn't have a patient involved. This interview is being held pursuant to ARS 322046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules have occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any of the following actions. Issue a decree of censure, place restrictions on a licensee's practice, issue a civil penalty not to exceed $500, issue other disciplinary actions, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of specific continuing education. If the board finds the violation or possible violations of statutes or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes or rules, the case may be dismissed. If the board finds that the violation warrants potential suspension or revocation of the license or certificate, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. We'll swear in all witnesses now.
Ms. Crowley will handle the swearing in.
Okay. If everybody will raise their right hand, please.
Judy, do you anticipate I'll be a witness?
Potentially, Mindy.
And can Mrs. Parks acknowledge that she has her right hand up?
Oh, yes, I do.
Thank you. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Ms. Sepias?
I do.
Ms. Richardson?
I do.
Ms. Parks?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
And we'll have the investigator give a brief overview of the complaint.
I'll defer to Judy. She's had more recent involvement in this case.
Thank you.
So on November 25th, 2022, Ms. Parks, PT, self-reported that she was cited with driving under the influence and engaging in unsafe lane change. According to public records, on November 15th, 2022, Ms. Parks was charged with 2 counts of driving under the influence, 2 counts, pardon me, of extreme driving under the influence, and 1 count of unsafe lane change. In addition, on April 18th, 2023, Ms. Parks was charged with extreme driving under the influence. Ms. Parks' blood alcohol level at the time of her arrest was 0.267, with a prior DUI noted on her arrest documents. Ms. Parks was also the subject of a couple of other additional criminal charges against her unrelated to the aforementioned self-report and was convicted of an extreme DUI in 2017. Given the subject matter of the self-report, including her reported blood alcohol content, and the nature of the conduct, the matter was brought before the board as a preliminary review at its April 2023 meeting and voted to open a case. The board reviewed the matter at an initial review on September 29th, 2023. Despite being notified of the meeting, Ms. Parks did not appear, nor was she represented by an attorney. After reviewing a summary of the investigation, the board voted to issue her an interim order to undergo and successfully complete a substance abuse evaluation by an addictionologist approved by the board. Ms. Parks completed her substance abuse evaluation on December 15, 2023. At its January 23, 2024 meeting, the board reviewed Ms. Parks' substance abuse evaluation, where her board-approved addictionologist stated in his report that Ms. Parks, and I quote, is at great risk for returning to out-of-control drinking, end quote. Ms. Parks was present at the meeting and was not represented by an attorney. In order to protect the public and ensure that Ms. Parks is safe to practice as a physical therapist, the board voted to offer her a consent agreement to include probation for a period of 60 months in which to complete the following. Engage a qualified medical professional approved by the board to oversee her sobriety and opine to the board regarding her ability to safely practice as a physical therapist. Attend recovery support meetings at a minimum of 1 time per week and obtain a sponsor, mentor, or group leader to provide quarterly reports to the board regarding Ms. Parks' attendance and participation. Enroll in a program for random biological fluid testing for alcohol use at a minimum of once monthly. The consent agreement allowed for early termination after 1 year of compliance and if all of the terms of the consent agreement were met. The following timeline represents the attempts at communicating with Ms. Parks regarding the board's decision. January 29th, 24, as requested by Ms. Parks, she was emailed a copy of her substance abuse evaluation. March 11th, 24, a consent agreement was sent by Ms. Parks electronically and via USPS mail. March 21st, 24, consent agreement was emailed again as Ms. Parks had not responded. April 11th, 24, voicemail and email to Ms. Parks. She was given a deadline to sign the consent agreement by April 15th, or she would be invited to an informal hearing to be held at the board's May 21st, 2024 meeting. April 16th, 24, Ms. Parks failed to respond by the deadline of 4:15. An invitation to an informal hearing was sent electronically and by USPS regular and certified mail on April 16th. On May 1st, 24, an email from Ms. Parks was received by the board's executive director stating that she did not have a chance to read the letter due to a death in her family and a lot going on in the past month. She requested an informal meeting with the board to discuss the terms of the consent agreement and stated she wished to consult an attorney. Ms. Parks was informed that an informal meeting was no longer an option, but she was invited to the informal hearing on May 21st, 2024. It was requested that the board receive her response to the informal hearing invitation or a signed consent agreement by May 10th, 2024. If neither was received by the provided deadline, it would be assumed she did not wish to sign the consent agreement or participate in an informal hearing, and the matter would be referred to a formal hearing. On May 20th, 2024, an email was received from Ms. Parks indicating that she would attend the informal hearing the next day. By the time the email was received, subsequent to no prior response, the matter had previously been removed from the board's May agenda. Meeting agenda posting timeframe requirements precluded the option to conduct the hearing with a mere one-day notice. On May 21st, 2024, Ms. Parks returned her completed reply form accepting the informal hearing invitation. Unfortunately, her emailed reply form was temporarily misfiled, so in compliance with hearing notification timeframes, Ms. Parks was offered a hearing date of June 25th, 2024. A reply accepting the June 25th meeting was not received, so Ms. Parks' informal hearing was rescheduled for July 23rd, 2024. The board was provided all of the memos and attachments, including her unsigned consent agreement, as well as any of the emails and her the information from the initial review, including the evaluation. I'm happy to answer any questions that I can, and Ms. Richardson is also available should the board have questions about the original investigation.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Parks, do you have an opening statement to make?
I do. I just want the board to know that I appreciate very much their patience in the matter with me. I was not intending to be stalling in any way. I just was trying to get some consultation advice before proceeding. And I just want the board also to be aware that I take this very seriously. And I tend to do what's right in the matter, and I do intend to sign the consent agreement. After consultation and discussing this matter with other people, I have found this to be fair, and I feel that the board is protecting itself and needing to supervise me for a period of time. I also would like to make some statements, though, in regard to the evaluation that was performed. I feel that there were some incorrect statements made in the report, and there was also some information that was left out in the report. There were two tests that were performed in which they were standardized tests that I was scored low on and low probability of having a substance abuse disorder, as SASS1-4 and also DAST-10. I scored low level risk. However, he still concluded with the fact that I am at great risk for returning to out-of-control drinking. So I will respect that conclusion because for my case here, I've absolutely not wanted to do any harm to the public or do anything wrong. In the situation that happened in 2022, I took action quickly. I quit drinking immediately, checked myself into a rehab center that was both mental health as well as substance abuse, as I was very well aware that I was in a situation mentally that I couldn't handle, and I needed to learn how to cope and protect my mental health. I quickly quit working. I did not work for 6 months. I've never worked under the influence of alcohol. And I just want the board to understand that I took it very seriously, and I understand their position of needing to protect the public and making sure that I'm safe and on my path to recovery. And it did state in there that I did not have any follow-up after the rehab. That's false. I was in an AA program daily. Actually had a sponsor, and that was for 9 months after the rehab. And then after that, I continued with AA several times a month up until this day. I also have gone to Celebrate Recovery meetings, church meetings. I've stayed with a therapist, a psychiatrist. I've had 104 days of CAM monitoring, 14 months of Interlock. It's still on my car until October 15th. And take my sobriety very seriously. So I just want the board to know that I am taking action to continue to be better. One thing that does concern me of the one, I have one request of all the conditions in the consent agreement I agree to. However, I am semi-retired at this point. I'm only working 12 hours a week and I travel quite a bit. So I am concerned about the daily checking of having to go do the alcohol testing, but I am in complete agreement to it. However, I would request to the board if I could, after 6 months, review the terms of the consent after 100% compliance and see if that can be dismissed.
Are you willing to answer questions from the board?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions to begin?
It's Dr. King, Ms. Parks. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate your opening statement and all that you are saying that you're doing. Please know, though, and my question is, you have not been responsive, not met deadlines, not met timelines since January. And so just help us understand your commitment to following the things outlined in the consent agreement. We really don't have a good track record thus far of your compliance.
Okay, well, there was some definitely misunderstanding of what was required of me. I was under the impression that if I didn't respond, then I would go to the informal hearing. I did try to keep in contact with Judy. I'm not quite sure which part you're referring to. I did know that there was a time period where I was not checking my emails regularly or my mail because of the death in our family. However, I did try to get in contact with Judy. I guess I didn't realize the formality of having to send back in a form versus just telling her that I would be at the meeting. Definitely was not intentional at all.
Yeah, I was just looking at the timeline. It was the January meeting that the consent agreement was discussed and approved, and then the next communication was supposed to be returned by April 15th, signed. No word from you around any of those time frames, and didn't necessarily hear back from you again until May. So that's quite a bit of time.
Well, I was under the impression that if I didn't respond to signing a consent agreement, that it would go to the next panel, or the next step, which was the informal hearing, which was what I was wanting.
Right, I hear you. And I think my concern is that that was an assumption. And so how will you ensure that you're following the consent agreement? And if you have questions, as opposed to assuming things will just take care of themselves, you'll actually take the actions to reach out and make sure you're following the consent agreement.
Well, I did reach out to Judy this last week to make sure that I was on the schedule for this meeting today. And I understand the terms of the consent agreement now that it's been explained to me. And I would love the chance to prove that it's been 100% compliant at the time that we revisit this. I'm assuming that there has to be some reporting done to the board.
Okay, thank you.
I'm seeing, overseen by a doctor or therapist is what I'm seeing here. And I'm assuming, it's vague, I don't know what that means exactly, but they were going to be reporting to you directly. And then as far as the Celebrate Recovery or AA meetings, I'm already doing that. So I have no issue with that. I have a sponsor as well. And then as far as the alcohol testing, I'm assuming that the lab will be reporting those to you as well. I would like the chance to communicate correctly now that I understand the process.
Thank you.
Dr. Bustillo, this is Mr. Greer. I would propose that in light of Ms. Park's intention to sign the consent agreement, to make sure we don't take our eye off this, I would recommend that we move this to a formal hearing, because I think that's the next step either way. If she signs the consent agreement, obviously that will moot out the formal hearing. If not, if we run into some issue, then at least we're not stuck in the same place. Mr. Harris, any problems with that? You're muted.
Thank you, Dr. Bustillo, members of the board, Mr. Greer. As an alternative, you may want to just give Ms. Parks a short period of time in which to sign the consent agreement. And because the terms of the consent agreement contain disciplinary action that you can impose at this time, if she doesn't timely sign it, what you could do is just move to turn that consent agreement into a board order and just instruct Judy to issue it, unless you believe that her failure to sign the consent agreement may rise to the level of taking additional disciplinary action, in which case maybe remanding it to formal hearing is the appropriate next step.
So we wouldn't need another hearing if...
No, if you wanted to just issue the consent agreement as a board order, we could turn the into, you know, findings of facts and conclusions of law and issue it.
Okay. That works for me.
Okay. Thank you.
And Josh, I don't know how you feel about just doing that, because there's a part of me that, I mean, she's had this consent agreement for a very long time. And, you know, my concern is, even if we just give her a week to sign the consent agreement, that's another week that this is potentially not getting resolved. And so there's a very large part of it that is just inclined to say, let's just adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law, and then say, here it is. You know, we gave you 6 months to figure this out. It's now not optional.
I would prefer a consent agreement for challenging reasons. It's harder to challenge it if we just order it, then there's an appeal right. If it's a consent agreement, we know it's done. So I'd prefer that. But I don't want to get hung up for another 6 months like we seem to have been in this case.
And that's my concern, is I'm just not, to be honest, given what we've seen so far, and given the fact that we don't have the kind of monitoring we want in place to ensure she's safe to practice, I'm not sure at this point if she is. And okay. So I want to make sure that we're getting that in place as fast as possible.
Agree.
But I mean, I do see your perspective on, you know, it's a lot more final if it's a consent agreement, right? So
yeah.
I mean, I'm sympathetic to that.
So Mr. Gurr, is the suggestion or the discussion that giving her, I don't know, let's just hypothetically say 7 days to sign the consent agreement. If it's not signed, then it's moved into a board order and imposed?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Barton. I feel like she's had this for a long time, continued to practice. We have no idea other than what she's told us she's done, what she's done. We don't have any idea how the public has been protected over this time, given the evaluations and things that we have. So I think action is, it's time to take action. She had her questions answered today. So, let's move forward.
I guess I have a question for Mr. Harris. Would she have the availability to, ask for, a change of the term of the board order as she had stated in her statement of after 6 months of fluid testing, to have that removed if she was clear? Can she do that with a board order, or is it just easier with a consent agreement?
Dr. Castillo, member of the board, either way, you would have to, though, vote on that.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, the way the consent agreement is drafted, it does not reflect that. And so whether it's in the consent agreement or in the board order, we just need direction from you, whether that's acceptable or not.
Okay, so it could happen even with a board order.
Yes, either way. I anticipate that the consent agreement, if it's not signed, it would just be reduced to a board order, so the terms would remain the same. You just need to let us know if you want those terms modified in any way.
Thank you. I would agree with a quick signing and turning it into a board order should it not be signed.
And how much time, Mr. Harris, if the consent agreement is then turned into a board order, how much time does she have to start complying with the order?
Oh, that's immediate.
Perfect. Okay, so there's not a 30 days of notification and all of that, like immediately.
Yes. Yes, that's
good.
Correct.
Okay.
The one thing that I would ask, and it's kind of following up Dr. Bastillo's, you know, comments regarding, do you want to include any changes to the terms of the, you know, originally proposed consent agreement? Or do you just want to keep those terms as is?
I want to keep the terms as is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
At least at this point.
Mr. Harris, would there be anything that would prevent us from just saying you can sign it today or it becomes an order or a time frame like that?
No, Mr. Barton, members of the board, you can, you know, put by the end of business today, tomorrow, Friday, whatever date you choose.
Okay, good.
Mr. Harris or Josh and Mr. Greer, I guess. What are your thoughts on that? Just saying, get it done today.
I would say I give it till the end of the week, till Friday.
Okay.
But no problems there. You want to make that motion, Josh?
I have
a question.
Oh.
Sure. Ms. Parks, yeah. You can ask your question.
Thank you. So I'm wondering, am I able to requisition the board or ask the board for permission to review the terms of the consent agreement after 6 months? Would that be a possibility to ask for permission for that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It just has to be agendized for a meeting.
See, I have no problem signing a consent agreement. That is not my issue today. I was just requesting to be able to review the terms of the agreement after 6 months of compliance.
Yeah. Stay in good communication.
Okay.
And that will get you where you want to go the quickest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also think it's important for you to know, though, that it was put on as 60 months for a reason, potentially. So I don't want you to get your hopes up that at 6 months we're feeling like all good Okay, please make sure that you communicate with the board. We want to watch your progress. We certainly want you to be safe and we want the public to be safe. But I don't want you to think that 6 months will be a big check mark that it's, that you're good to go. Okay, we'll consider all.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion, Karen?
Oh, not yet. Mr. Barton's working on it.
Wait for us to clean up here. So I guess I would move, that we, give the respondent until, I guess I'll defer to Mr. Greer. We'll give her until Friday to sign it. And if not, we instruct the board staff to enter the consent agreement as findings of fact and conclusion of law in a board order.
Second.
And that's Friday, July 26th.
That's correct.
Any further discussion? Okay, I think we're ready, Judy.
Okay. Sorry, had to catch my notes up so I can repeat this appropriately. So it's been moved and seconded to provide Ms. Parks with a timeline until Friday, July 26, 2024 to sign her consent agreement, her existing consent agreement. If it is not signed and received by staff by that deadline date, the consent agreement will be issued as a board order adopting all findings of fact and conclusions of law as set forth in that consent agreement. Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Ms. Parks, the staff will be in contact with you. Please try to get that signed and back to us as fast as you can so we can keep this moving along, and good luck with you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Bastillo, one point of clarification, please, clerically. Ms. Parks, you do have a copy of that agreement already that you can sign, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I will be out of the office the remainder of the week, so I just wanted to make sure what needed to happen today.
Electronically or by mail?
You can send it to me electronically. Thank you.
Okay.
I will be checking email, so I'll be able to make sure that it's been received.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Anything else on that? Okay. Okay, we can move on. There's nothing under 8. We completed number 9. Nothing under 10. And so we'll move into old business item number 11, case 2384, Noah Abrahams.
I do believe Mr. Cody Hall is present representing Mr. Abrahams. I don't believe Mr. Abrahams is still on the line. So at its May 21st, 2024 meeting, the board voted to issue Mr. Abrahams a board order with the following terms: probation for 18 months, continuing education in the areas of dry needling for a minimum of 24 hours, documentation for a minimum of 6 hours, billing and coding for a minimum of 3 hours, practice restrictions prohibiting dry needling to the spinal column between C1 and T12 until his dry needling coursework was completed, and professional monitoring to include a practice audit, records review, and monthly reporting.
Mr. Abrahams has signed a contract with Copper State Professional Monitoring, which was provided for the board's review. Mr. Abrahams' compliance with his board order, his probation is still ongoing. He has completed his 27 hours, actually, of dry needling, lifting that practice restriction. He has completed more than 6 hours of documentation and more than 3 hours of coding and billing. It should be noted here that after this documentation was prepared and provided to the board, Mr. Abrahams did submit one additional hour of documentation continuing education. So he has met both of those, all of the continuing education requirements. His professional monitoring is pending based on the board's review of the provided contract, and his employer notification was completed within the requisite 10 days. So the matter is for your review.
Great, thank you. Mr. Hall, if you're on the call, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
There is not. I'm actually just monitoring this to see if the board approves of it for NOAA. So thank you.
Yep, thank you. Well, I'll move that we accept the signed agreement between Mr. Abrahams and Copper State Monitoring Company.
I will second that.
Any other discussion? Okay, I think we're ready.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Mr. Abrahams' signed contract with Copper State Monitoring Company. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Okay, then on to 11B, case 2368, Paul Kempton.
So that case, staff is going to request that case be tabled to a future meeting. It was on the agenda in anticipation of receiving a signed consent agreement, although the timeline was very tight. We knew it going into this that it might not occur. So it has not yet occurred. So, we request that this be tabled to a future meeting, most likely the August meeting.
Would the August meeting be appropriate?
I believe so.
I'll move that we table this item to the August board meeting.
Second.
Judy, is there any reason we wouldn't just move it to an informal hearing?
They were already offered an informal hearing. With this case, there was an initial review, and then the board requested additional investigation. So it came back as a continued investigation. It came back as a continued initial review.
Right.
In that time frame, they had already been provided an option for an informal hearing. They'd already been provided an invitation, which they chose to decline and request a formal hearing if it went to that point. So in the interest of a timely settlement and ensuring that the board's wishes are carried out, the consent agreement was drafted and provided. They've been very communicative through the process, so I don't anticipate any further delays. At least I hope not. It was just a case of a discussion that occurred regarding the consent agreement, and then the timeline to get it signed right before this meeting was really, really very tight. So,
okay.
That was it. We left it on just in case the opportunity arose to finalize it at this meeting. We left it on at their request, I might add.
Okay. Understood. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? Okay, I think we're ready.
It's been, and your, Dr. Bustillo, point of clarification, your motion did specify the August meeting, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded to table this matter until the board's August meeting, which is August 27th, 2024. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Haik?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, we are on to board business and reports. Update on the FSBT, BPT leadership.
So no, that's, go ahead, I was Judy. Just going to introduce it, Kelly. I'll be. So the leadership issues forum occurred, this month, July 13th and 14th in Arlington, Virginia. It was, Mr. Leone's first, encounter of that variety. He had previously been to the board training, the board administrator training, but this was the first time he had been at LIFE. He's unable to attend this meeting today to give you his feedback, but should he want to provide any additional feedback, I'm happy to agendize it later. Additionally, Dr. King was also present because Dr. King is an integral part of some of the task forces, and I was present as the board's administrator. So I requested that Dr. King share with you her impressions of the meeting.
Thank you. The leadership issues forum meeting was, as always, super dynamic. Lots of great discussions regarding issues that are happening in jurisdictions across the country. So some of the biggest hot topics were workforce and workforce data. And especially post-COVID, they presented some data around licensure numbers in different states. However, when out the number of licensees they had that were actually practicing was a third less than the number they had. So just being licensed doesn't really give us a good understanding of what the accessibility is to physical therapy services in our state. So I know we have a renewal and we have a bunch of new questions regarding practice in our state. And I'm really, really hoping that we will be able to work with the Department of Health to work on a workforce data analysis for Arizona. One of the other big topics was around unconscious bias. And the potential impact during board investigations and adjudication. We discussed the potential opportunity for boards and to complete unconscious bias training, not just for education as board members, but also to provide the public with information around how board members are trained and educated on these kinds of topics as we adjudicate different cases. As you can imagine, AI was also a big topic, and AI in healthcare particularly, and how to best utilize it. There were several examples of how different boards are using it now, as well as different medical and health facilities. One was similar to one of the cases that we heard around AI being utilized to search therapists' documentation for specific words that would help capture accurate billing coding. That's mostly used in hospital systems. They also certainly talked about AI and some of the downfalls of AI here. And they talked about one particular healthcare company that has a AI as part of one of their apps that patients can enter into their app symptoms, and it would create a therapeutic of care. And just how do boards deregulating interventions created by AI as an actual physical therapist? So it was a good discussion. And then there was also just an update, Lifetime Fitness. If you don't know, Lifetime Fitness has a new program over the last year where they are advertising their members have access to DPT. And their DPT is dynamic personal trainer, as opposed to, of course, Dr. to physical therapy. There's a lawsuit, and they're attempting to trademark
DPT. And so the FSBPT and the APTA have joined forces in their investigations and will be presenting their case to the trademark office in the near future. That is it. Well, there's way more than that, but that's the highlights. Did I miss anything, Judy? Anything you want to call out that struck you?
No, other than the fact that informed consent continues to be a dynamic and a topic that is under distinct investigation right now. So they're, you know, they're drafting, the FSBPT intends to draft some model language potentially for rules. When those task forces are, you know, to that point, we'll receive that information, I'm sure. They're just not at that point. So it's continued to be a work in progress. The coursework evaluation tool for foreign educated, like Arizona in our rules, they call out specifically coursework tool 5, but coursework tool 5 is specific to a certain graduation timeframe, as all coursework tools are. So, they're also suggesting that a more dynamic language in the rules to allow for options with the coursework tools to be able to utilize the one that is most appropriate to that individual, their practice and their graduation dates. So, yeah, Kelly hit the nail on the head. Dynamic is the word of the day for any FSBPT meeting. They're just packed full of information and opportunities to understand that, you know, we're not alone as a board in this pursuit. Although that said, there are just as many ways of addressing and discussing and managing each and every one of these topics as there are states that regulate the practice of physical therapy. So it's always subject to statutes and rules. So other than that, we were fed extremely well, as always, and got very little sleep because they commandeered from the moment our eyes fluttered open till the time they went to land back on the pillow.
Yep, nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think Giovanni enjoyed it. I think he found it. Every time I spoke to him, he was saying that, yeah, he was enjoying it and he was making some connections. He had plenty of different people to talk to. Of course, when they do these meetings, anybody from the same jurisdiction are categorically split up at different tables at all times. So the only time mm-hmm. we have to touch base is at those, you know, those breakfast meetings, because lunch is usually something special and dinner is some other special kind of gathering with the liaisons and whatnot. So it was good. It was really good. And if any board members would like to, the next time that the board and administrators training comes up, they are fantastically informative. They are open to any board member or staff, I believe. I don't know if each one they cap the limit of the number of people that can go, but they offer it on a recurring basis. There's always a virtual option to it as well, typically. But I highly encourage any staff or board members that would like to go, and Mr. Harris, that includes you. They do offer the opportunity for attorney generals to join as well. However, that works with your office. That could be an entirely different ball of wax. So, but that was life in a nutshell.
Nice.
So the next thing up is the executive director's report, and the most pressing item that we have is renewals. We are knee deep in the renewal season, and if you haven't renewed, feel free to log on to your nearest computer and get that done. We anticipate more than 9,000 licensees and certificate holders planning to renew. As of this morning, 8:20 this morning, we had 2,700 renewals complete. 2,152 of those were PTs. 548 of those were PTAs. On July 1st, a system glitch was discovered, allowing a previously withdrawn renewal application from the 2022 renewal period to be submitted as a 2024 renewal. That included a few problem areas, in so much as those individuals didn't have to answer any questions, they didn't pay, and it did go through. So we were informed of that glitch through a variety of emails questioning things. We worked with the vendor, with Entia, and we got that corrected. So it was corrected late July 2nd. So that was a one-day turnaround. There were actually 9 individuals that made it through the process in that manner. So staff reached out to all 9 of those directly. They were informed that the renewal that they submitted was not an actual 2024 renewal, so they would have to do it again. Interestingly enough, at least half of the individuals who made it through that were those who were renewing a retired license. So, so that, you know, that's not an active practitioner at this point, but, nonetheless, there were 9 of them to date. 8 of them have submitted their appropriate renewal. There is 1 remaining. So staff will be watching that and contact her again if necessary. Those renewals that are submitted that require manual processing are typically addressed within 1 week of their submission and are processed as applicable after the staff receives the necessary documentation. So they're informed, we reach out to them, and we're staying on top of those as best we can. Just for a total of active licensees, we've got about 9368, as I checked last night, active PTs and PTAs, licensees and certificate holders. There's 1,072 that are in an inactive status of some sort, either not practicing, retired, or administratively suspended, indicating that any of those could come back to practice at any time with the proper documentation. And of the surrendered, revoked, suspended, and expired, the vast majority of those being expired, there's another 7159. So staff remains responsible for those individuals, in so much as license verifications, things like that, if they ever intend to seek licensure in another state, they still have to request their Arizona license verification. If they come back to us, they submit with continuing education that has to be reviewed and all of that. So those are just some of the numbers that I thought you might find a little bit interesting. But renewals are on their way. We're doing well. The system is performing well. Yay.
Yay.
And whew. So all good there. But yeah, we're getting reports back that we're not getting a lot of reports back of issues. We're getting reports back so far that, you know, they seem to have done it appropriately. And even if they get locked out, that's a pretty much a one conversation issue in most cases, so they get back in and they're good to go. So far, so good.
Great.
Any questions about renewals or the license numbers? Okay. The next thing is the financials. Of course, June closed our fiscal year. So budgeting will be upon us before we know it, as soon as those systems are opened up. But the summary report was provided for your review. Do you have any questions, any concerns, any thoughts about that? And of course, with the, as we discussed last month, the fund sweeps, it's my understanding that those have occurred already. So. We will be changing. There's a lot of agencies that have to do it. We will be changing to that 85-15 from our 90-10 status. That's going to require a fair amount of structuring on the backside of all of our systems. But again, we're not alone in that. So there's going to be a concerted effort with both Centia and any other agencies that fall into working with something like that. So, any questions? Okay. Then last but not least, well, almost last, not, I shouldn't say last yet. So licenses and certificates, those were issued in the month of June. The month of July, we are still issuing some licenses. Those licenses will have, that we issue in the month of July will have to be renewed before August 31st. So we are trying to make sure that they are informed of that. They should be. They have all passed their AZ Law exam before they get licensed. So that information is in their study materials. So any questions about the licenses, certificates, or anything of that nature? Okay. Any future agenda items that you'd like the board to place on agendas? Okay. We have finalized the quiet side of the agenda. So that is adjournment.
So how did we do on time, Mr. Greer?
We did okay. I was kind of expecting to be done about 30 minutes earlier.
All right. Okay. Just checking. So I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. Basio?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
The meeting is adjourned at 10:53 and the recording will stop at that same time. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.